This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wahdah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dah. ألا من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله لا يحب من كان مختالا فخورا صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected scholars, ulama, elders and brothers, we begin by praising Almighty Allah, sending salutations upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Amongst the objectives of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's magnificent endeavors was to correct people's conduct and character. Hence Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِيُتِمَّ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ. I have been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to correct and to complete people's good conduct and character. And Allah Ta'ala, through the means of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has given us great rewards with regard to adopting good conduct and character. In a hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ لِيُدْرِكَ بِحُسْنِ خُلْقِهِ دَرَجَةَ قَائِمِ اللَّيْلِ وَسَائِمِ النَّهَارِ. A mu'min, through the means of his good conduct, gets the same reward as someone making tahajjud all night and keeping nafil fast all the days. And I always ask the people that, do you ever regard someone who has good conduct as rewarding and as pious as the one who makes tahajjud all night? And very few people will say yes. But yet these are the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A person with good conduct gets the same reward as someone who makes tahajjud all night. And part of good conduct and good character is to stay away from negative and lowly attributes, to stay away from evil attributes. And the one attribute that today I would like to, in today's talk, highlight is that of pride. Pride is perhaps one of the most deadliest, spiritually deadliest type of attribute a person can have. It prevents a person going into Jannah. Even an iota of pride is sufficient to stop your entry into Jannah. And one of our great scholars, in fact, by and large, everyone knows about him because he has come to our shores. Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith, Hazrat Maulana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Everyone knows him as Shaykhul Hadith. Has written a book on pride and he entitled it very interestingly, Ummul Amrav, the mother of all spiritual ailments. Pride, the mother of all spiritual ailments. And there is no exaggeration in this. If you were to look at it, there is no evil that pride would not make a person do. Many a times a person is jealous about others because he regards himself superior to others. Why must this person get that favor? I'm better than him. So jealousy is also sometimes, or many a times, because of pride. Anger is because of pride. You only by and large get angry over those people whom you regard as your subordinates. Very few people get angry with their boss, or they don't vent it. Right? So anger, and therefore you see many a times in anger a person speaking and said, don't you know who I am? The very same pride. And sometimes if he can't vent his anger, then the pride becomes the means of malice and hatred in his heart. To such an extent that pride becomes the means and the reason even for kufr. Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran has made mention that when Allah Ta'ala told Iblis and commanded Iblis with the Malaika to make sijda in front of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, they all did so besides Iblis. And look at what the words Allah Ta'ala uses in the Quran. Aba wastakbar. He refused and he was proud. Because of his pride, he committed kufr. So pride became the means of his kufr. There is no evil a proud person will not resort to, because for him, his image is more important than anything else. So therefore, it's very important for us to be aware of it. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Man kana fi qalbihi mithqalu habbatin min khardalin min kibar," or kama qal. Even if a person has an iota of pride, he won't enter into Jannah. Even if a little bit of pride he got, he will not enter into Jannah. Therefore, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, who has written extensively on pride, in his Ihya ul-Ulum, he has, you know, dedicated almost 20 to 25 pages on pride. And on this he writes, وَإِزَالَتُهُ فَرَزٌ عَيْنٌ. To eradicate yourself from pride is فَرَزَ عَيْنٌ. The way namaz is faraz, to keep yourself away from pride is faraz. And he said, لَا يَزُولُ مُجَرَّدِ التَّمَنِّ. It will not get eradicated only by your verbal desire that I'm going to stay away from pride. You have to make a conscious effort to keep yourself away from pride. Now, of course, when we hear the consequences of pride, what is pride? Then Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi goes on to make mention, and he says there are two degrees of pride. One is secret pride and one is outward pride. Secret pride is what he terms as ujub, and Allah Ta'ala and Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has also made mention of it in the Quran and Hadith. What is ujub? Ujub means conceitedness, to regard yourself very highly. I am also someone. I am very highly. I am so great. I am so talented. I am so, you know, I got so much ilm. I am so pious. Having a high notion of yourself is known as ujub and conceitedness. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, "Thalathum muhlikat." Three things are spiritually destructive. And one of them, he uses the word ijabul mar'i bi nafsi. When a person regards himself very highly, I am also someone. Maybe koi ho. So this particular thing is a spiritually destructive disease. Allah uses the word ujab in the Quran. لَقَدْ نَسَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَوَاتِنَ كَثِيرَةٍ وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنَ إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ. Remember, Allah Ta'ala helped you on many occasions. And Allah helped you in Hunayn when your numbers granted you a degree of self-conceitedness. And Sahaba were heard to be saying, when we were little in number, we defeated the enemy. Now when we are more in number, then most likely we will also defeat the enemy. Allah didn't like that. You know, a certain degree of referring things to yourself and your numbers. So Allah uses the word ujab there in the Quran. Ujab. To regard yourself as highly. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Ali, who was an expert in terms of understanding man's spiritual disease, has said, "Jab kamal par naz karna kamal se aari hone ka dalil hai." To take pride in your achievements and to regard yourself as highly is a sure sign that you have no achievements. Jab aadmi apne ko bara samajhne lagta hai to khuda ke nazar mein gir jata hai. When a person regards himself as highly and great, he falls down from the esteem of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something. Now, and Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi said, وَإِلَّةُ الْعُجُبْ جَحْلُ الْمَحَزِ. That the cause of conceitedness is pure ignorance. Because who gave you your achievements? If you are referring it to yourself, go and try and achieve it on yourself. Allah gave you whatever achievements you are. And sometimes we make a joke of it, you know. We say that it's hard to be humble when I'm so great. It's so hard to be humble and I'm so great. What you don't realize is who gave you whatever you have. So when you realize everything comes from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you won't be arrogant, you will be grateful to Almighty Allah. And that's a difference between one who is arrogant and one who is grateful. The one who is arrogant, he will smirk towards others. But a person who is grateful will smile and look at Allah ta'ala and refer everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The difference between gratefulness and conceitedness and pride is perhaps the difference between smirking at other people and realizing the greatness of Almighty Allah and attributing it everything to Almighty Allah. Then goes to the next step. So the first step of pride is conceitedness, looking, regarding yourself as highly. Then the next, I'm talking about the definition now. The definition is that the next step towards pride is now regarding yourself as superior to others. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has also referred to this definition in the hadith. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was asked once, "Ya Rasulullah, Is it pride that I have good clothes? I wear good clothes. Is it pride? I wear good clothes. So Nabi Karim Sawsam said, no. To wear good clothes is not pride. Sometimes to wear good clothes is dignity. As long as it doesn't make you feel better than others. I got this particular type of brand. Because I got this brand, I'm better than this person. I got a Boss brand. He goes to pep stores. So therefore, my brand is better. When you regard yourself as superior, that's a problem. But wearing good clothes in itself is not a problem. Inna Allah Jamil yuhibbul Jamal. Nabi Karim Sallallahu said, Allah is beautiful. Allah loves beauty. In itself is not wrong. Unless it makes you feel better than others. So then Nabi Karim Sallallahu asked, Ya Rasulullah, then what is pride? Nabi Sallallahu gave such a beautiful definition. Batrul haq wa ghamtun nas. One is to disdain the truth, and one is to regard yourself as superior and disdain others. So one strand of pride is, I am better than the truth. I am greater and more important than the truth. And the other strand of pride, in this definition of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I am better than other people. So one strand, I am better than the truth, and one is, I am better than other people. And I will go on to make mention why it is wrong. But then Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi goes on to make mention that he says seven causes of pride. Seven reasons why people take pride. And then he breaks up all of those reasons. And very interesting. Just to give an example, how widespread this particular, you know, spiritual disease is, and how sometimes we become proud because of any one of these seven reasons. Let me see how far we can go with regard to it. One he says is people take pride in their ancestry, in their lineage, in the race, in the tribe from which they come from. And they say that I am better than another person because I come from this particular village. This is my color of my skin. This is my race. This is my tribe. Now Allah Ta'ala in the Quran has made mention of our identity. Inna khalaqnakum min dhakari wa untha wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu. Allah Ta'ala says, I made you into different races, into different tribes, but for the sake of identification, not for the sake of regarding yourself superior to another person. Inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. The most honorable amongst you are those who are pious, not those who have a particular color of skin, who come from a particular background, or he comes from a particular village. You know, in our India, Pakistan language, we say he come from a gum. Nowadays, you ask the children, which gum you come from? They say bubble gum. So we this particular aspect is not regard yourself. I come from this village, therefore I'm better than you. You come from low stock, I come from royal blood. That has nothing to do with superiority. And people use that as a basis of pride. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, أَنْسَابُكُمْ هَذِهِ لَيْسَتْ بِمَسَبَّةٍ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ تَفَّ السَّعَوْ بِالسَّعَوْ. That this particular lineage is not the means of regarding yourself as superior to others. Allah Ta'ala has created each and everyone equal. You come from one stock, you come from one parent, you come from one Adam and Hazrat Hawa. And each and every one of you is equal. لَا فَضْلَ لِعَرَبِيٍ عَلَىٰ عَجَمِيٍ وَلَا عَجَمِيٍ عَلَىٰ عَرَبِيٍ. There is no superiority of the Arab over the non-Arab or vice versa, except on the basis of taqwa and righteousness. And really, ancestry and lineage only appeals to those people who have done nothing themselves. You've done nothing yourself, you can't establish your own credentials, then you look upon, I'm such from such a high family. I come from such a particular tribe. If you have come from that particular what you feel, then establish yourself by your righteousness, not on the basis of your lineage. Lineage is only important for people who have done nothing. The first person to use matter, the first person to use matter as a basis of superiority was whom? Iblis. Iblis said, Ana khayrun min. I am better than Adam alayhi salam. Khalaqtani min nar wa khalaqtahu min teen. He used matter from what he was created as a basis of regarding himself as superior. And we all know what happened to Shaitan. If you want to follow that, you are following Shaitan. To regard race and matter and your ethnicity as a means of greatness and superiority. The second reason that people regard themselves superior to others is wealth. And Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi said, هذا أقبح anwa'il kibar. This is one of the most filthiest ways of taking pride over others. Wealth can be used for good. You know, wealth in itself is neutral. There's nothing wrong if you use wealth correctly. Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran has used and spoken about wealth. When it is used correctly, Allah has praised it. أَمْوَالَكُمُ الَّتِي جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا. Allah has made wealth the means of your existence. Allah in the Holy Quran speaks about wealth and risk as Allah's grace. And in one place Allah Ta'ala uses the word khair, goodness. لَا بَعْصَ بِالْغِنَى لِمَنِ اتَّقِ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. There is nothing wrong with wealth for a person who fears Allah Ta'ala. نِعْمَ الْمَالُ الصَّالِحِ لِلْرَجُلِ الصَّالِحِ. Very great is that wealth which is in the hands of a pious person because he will utilize it correctly. But it is not the means of superiority. If it was the means of superiority, Qarun, who was the wealthiest person perhaps created by Allah Ta'ala, would have been the most successful of all people. The fact that he is not has been mentioned in the Quran, that Allah Ta'ala destroyed him because of his pride and arrogance in his wealth. And there is a verse in the Holy Quran, sometimes we don't, you know, really pay much attention to it, but it is such a great lesson that wealth where it matters most will not be any benefit to you. In itself it will be not any benefit. And in the spiritual realm, wealth has got no superiority and no value. It only becomes valuable if you use it correctly. Now look at this verse in Surah Az-Zukhruf. وَلَوْلَا أَن يَكُونَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا. Had it not been that everyone would have followed one path, would have become one ummah, لَجَعَلْنَا لِمَن يَكْفُرُ بِالرَّحْمَنِ. I would have made those who deny Allah, I would have given them لِبُيُوتِهِمْ سُقُفٌ مِّن فِدَّةٍ. I would have given them houses, the outside and the decoration of that houses would have been silver. I would have given them the best of homes. But why didn't I give it to them? I would have given it to whom? To those who deny Allah. Allah says, I would have given those who denied Allah beautiful homes, in the best of places, in the best of areas. But why didn't I do so? It would have been too great a temptation for humanity. For the sake of that homes, they would have denied Allah. Otherwise, I would have given it to them. That is the value of wealth in my eyes. And brothers, the more you have, the more you are going to account for on the day of Qiyamah. I always like to tell people, you see, here when you got wealth, there's a certain degree of privilege that you have. Right? So, many a times people who have wealth, they will travel, when they will travel business class. Or when they, for example, even if they don't travel business class, because of the frequent traveling, they have gold cards of the different frequent flyers of the different airlines. So when you go and you have a gold, you know, business class, or you got a gold card, what happens? You don't stand in the queue. So you don't stand in the queue. All the people who are in the economy capital class, they stand in the queue. You got business class, you say no queue. Then you go into the business class lounge. So there is no queue for you, and the queue is very less. So there is no queue for you. On the day of Qiyamah, the matter would be reversed. The people who are poor, 500 years before you in Jannah. You poor, you got no wealth, go to Jannah. You wealthy, stand there, go and give account. Here you're not going to stand in the queue. There you're going to stand in the queue. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Abdul Rahman ibn Auf one day, he was telling the Sahaba, إِنِّي لَعَارِفُ رَجُلًا إِسْمُهُ وَإِسْمُ أَبِي لَا يَعْتِي بَابًا مِّنْ أَبْوَابِ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا قَالْ مَرْحَبًا مَرْحَمًا. I know a person, I know the name of his father, I know the name of his mother. He will not come into any one of the gates of Jannah, and the gates of Jannah will say, come through us, for you to come to us is our honor. Who are you speaking about, Ya Rasulullah? Abu Bakr ibn Quhafa. Abu Bakr. Abdul Rahman, then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told all the Sahaba, Abdul Rahman, I waited for you. I thought maybe you failed. And then you came crawling into Jannah. So how can you take pride in your wealth? Taking pride in your wealth is that the way of Qarun. He was proud, he was wealthy, didn't make him successful. And when you have wealth, worry about how you're going to answer for your wealth on the day of Qiyamah. Don't be proud. The third thing people take pride in is ilm and knowledge. Now this is quite a quandary, because knowledge is the means of superiority. Allah makes mention of it. قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Those, in the eyes of Allah, the person who has knowledge is greater than the person who doesn't have knowledge. But it doesn't make you superior to others who don't have knowledge. And the way Imam Ghazali, you know, has scored, the way the doctor catches your pulse to be able to see, Imam Ghazali has caught our pulse in terms of our spiritual ailments. And he said, "Ilmal innal ilm tughyanun ka tughyanil mal." In knowledge there is a rebelliousness like the rebelliousness of the wealthy. In knowledge there is a rebelliousness like the rebelliousness of the wealthy. And he said, "Wa huwa a'zamul afat wa ab'adaha an qabul al-ilaj." And this is the greatest calamity and one of the greatest reasons of pride. And the most difficult to cure is the pride on the basis of ilm and knowledge. Now this, what do we do with regard to it? How do we look at it? Firstly, we must understand that the person who has knowledge, he has a greater responsibility than those who don't have knowledge. If a person having knowledge does wrong, then the jinayat and the guna and the sin of it is greater than the person who doesn't have knowledge. And innama yakhsha Allah min ibadihi al-ulama. The ulama are those who fear Allah Ta'ala. The greater your knowledge, the greater you will achieve humility. And if he doesn't have it, then you have to question your knowledge. A person came from North Africa once to come visit Imam Malik Rahmatullah Ali. And he said, "The people of my village in North Africa have asked me to come and ask you a question because you are regarded to be the greatest alim in the Muslim world at that time." And Imam Malik heard the question. He thought about it. And he said, "I don't know the answer." And the man was perplexed. And he said, "What do I go and tell the people of my village? They sent me all the way from there." He said, "Go and tell them Imam Malik doesn't know the answer. Go and tell them Imam Malik doesn't know the answer." Sometimes, in front of him, sometimes they were put many questions. A great number of those questions, he replied, "I don't know, Allah knows best." A person who is ilm and knowledge will always have humility. But yet, this is one of the reasons of pride. The more a person has knowledge, the more he will be humble. Then, fourth reason why people take pride is in their good deeds. Fitnatun azimun indal ibad, said Imam Ghazali. One of the greatest fitnas that is upon bondsmen. You know, and this is one of the most difficult things to understand. The reason why it is the most difficult thing to understand, if you got wealth, you can understand you got wealth, right? But your good deeds is only beneficial to you if it's accepted by Allah. You don't know whether it is accepted by Allah. So what are you taking pride on? Therefore Allah Ta'ala says, "Fala tuzakku anfusakum." Don't praise yourself. He knows who has taqwa. He knows. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Idha qala ar-rajulu halaka an-nas." In Sahih Muslim, there is a hadith. When you hear a person telling the people, "You people have become destroyed because of your sins," he's the first of the people who have become destroyed by the eyes of Allah Ta'ala. When you tell people, "You people have become destroyed out of superiority and denigrating others," he's the first person to become. And we have to be careful with regard to it. We don't know who Allah Ta'ala will accept and who Allah won't accept. We don't know whether our good deeds is acceptable or not, and whether we will have istiqamah and steadfastness on this. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in a hadith, sometimes a person does so much righteous deeds, there is one span between him and Jannah. Allah Ta'ala takes away the hidayat for him to do good deeds and he becomes among the inmates of Jahannam. Sometimes a person does so much evil, there is one span between him and Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala grants him hidayat and he becomes among those of the people of Jannah. Umar radiallahu anhu set out to assassinate Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, my dear respected brothers. Today he is sleeping next to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In one of the greatest battles in our history, Abu Mahjan was a person who was caught taking alcohol. He was put under lock and key. And under he was put under lock and key, circumstances made that the wife of the commander, Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, freed him. And he went into the battle because he was singing poetry. "How can I be away from the battle when Allah Ta'ala has made me such a great warrior? I got the skills to be a warrior." So, you know, Salma, the wife of unlocked him. And he went in the battle. He changed the course of the battle. So Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas is sitting and looking at it and he said, "I find this amazing. This person is changing the course of the battle. If I had not locked him, I would have said he's Abu Mahjan. And look at the horse that he's, on which horse it is, it looks like my horse." That night he went back and Salma said, he was crying. I unlocked him. And he went and he changed the course of the battle. A person who had taken alcohol became the means of one of the greatest victories in Islam. Who are we to judge people and take pride in our deeds? Huh? We have to be very careful with regard to this. Anyway, this is the fourth. Now, I don't have the time. I'm going to conclude. So I'm going to just make mention of the three other points without any elaboration. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi says that people take pride in beauty, people take pride in strength, and people take pride in influence. And all of these are not the justifiable reasons and causes for pride. The reality, as we go back and we just conclude, is this, that pride only suits Allah. Al-kibri awradai wal azmatu azari. Nabi Karim s.a.w. said, greatness and pride is my garment and my sheet. Whoever tries to compete with me on these things, I will destroy him. Pride and greatness only suits Allah. For us, it is our greatest accolade that we are the humble servants of Almighty Allah. And when I say humble and being humility, I mean it. Not be like someone who said, I wrote a book on humility, it became a bestseller. Don't do like that. Achieve through humility. Through humility in the sense that the greatness of Allah is such that it makes me realize that I am nothing in front of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what we have to see. Look at the way of the pious people. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, you know, on his deathbed, you know, he told his son, Abdullah ibn Umar, he was sleeping on the lap of Abdullah ibn Umar. And he said, oh my son, put me on the ground. And he didn't even put his head on the lap of Abdullah ibn Umar. He put his face on the ground and he rubbed it and he said, وَيْلُ لَكَ يَا إِبْنِ عُمَرْ وَيْلُ لَكَ يَا إِبْنِ خَتَّابْ إِلَّمْ يَخْفِلْ لَكَ رَبُّكَ. You are going to be destroyed, Ibn Khattab, if Allah doesn't forgive you. You are going to be destroyed, Ibn Khattab, if Allah doesn't forgive you. A person about whom Nabi Karim s.a.w. said, Umar fil Jannah. Umar is in Jannah. Humility rids us from false pretenses. And whenever you give up the thought of being better than others, a whole new world of opportunity awakens you and greets you. Take away this whole particular fact that we are better than others. Be humble in front of Almighty Allah. Man tawadha'a lillahi rafa'ahu Allah. He who achieves and adopts humility, Allah will raise him in rank. We don't even, we don't even use that humility for the sake of that. You know, I'd just like to conclude with what Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi had said. And he said, wal kabiru man huwa kabirun indallahi fil akhirah. The superior person is who is superior by Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, not here in this world by your perceptions. And he said, مِنْ حَقِّ الْعَبْدِ أَلَّا يَتَكَبَّرْ عَلَى أَحَدٍ. It is the right of the bondsman that he doesn't regard himself superior than any other person. Then he gives example. إِنْ نَزَرْ إِلَى الْجَاهِلِ قَالَ هَذَا أَسَى اللَّهَ بِجَهْلِهِ وَأَنَا أَسَيْتُهُ بِعِلْمٍ فَهُوَ أَعْذَرُ مِنِّي. If you see a person who is ignorant doing something wrong, he said he is doing it out of ignorance. I'm doing wrong knowingly. He is better than me. He said, if you see a person who is elder than you in age, don't look down upon him. He said, he started making namaz before me. He started obeying Allah Ta'ala before me. If you see a youngster, saying he committed guna after me, I committed guna first. I committed guna first, he committed guna after me. If you see a person, he says, you see a person who is a muqtadi or a kafir, look upon him and said, perhaps Allah Ta'ala will give him hidayat and Allah may take away my hidayat. See, never ever regard yourself as superior to others. And for us, the greatest accolade is to be humble servants of Almighty Allah. And today, stay away from pride and arrogance. May Allah grant us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.